I forgot to announce earlier, but Brother Jeff will be speaking tonight. So let's all be here and hear the message that God has laid on his heart. And then I think Brother Jose has Wednesday night. Our preacher and his wife, if I'm not mistaken, will be back Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure. Thursday afternoon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's remember them. I hope they have a good time. I think they're out of town for their anniversary. Is that correct?
Tomorrow is their anniversary, so send them a text.
Pardon?
Tomorrow is their anniversary, so send them a text. 49 years.
Man, that's a long time to live with him.
Amen.
remember them and send them a text and wish them well. As you can tell, I'm not Brother Smith. I'm much better looking. But anyway, I miss him when he's out of town.
Yeah.
When he's here, I poke fun at him. That was Matthew 24, not 4. I just looked at my notes. Yo, folks, when I watch the news on television, I am perplexed at the condition of the world today. Not only the condition of the world, but I stand in amazement how our country has taken a turn for the worse. I'll guarantee you if my mom and dad or my grandfather could see what's going on today, they wouldn't believe it. That our world is not getting any better. I feel sorry for our young people today because, I'm 73. I'm living on borrowed time, pretty much.
You're 74.
74, thank you for the correction. Now I really feel bad. I was feeling good at 73. Seriously, folks, 74. I hope it is God's will that he take me home, before I see the end times. But I look at this world and it's getting worse all the time. I'm amazed. I drive by the high schools or elementary schools or middle schools. We used to call them junior highs. And I see how some of our kids are dressing. And gee, don't you have parents? I go to Walmart and I'm shocked. Went out for pizza last night and I got shocked again. The condition that, people go out to town, there's no respect anymore. But there's no respect for our country. There's no respect for the Lord's church. And folks, I'm concerned. And matter of fact, there's a passage of scripture that just ran through the dark recesses of my mind. Somebody turned to the book of Judges, the last chapter and the very last verse, and read that for me. Ever who gets there first.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
And in those days, there was no king in Israel. And every man done that which was right in his own eyes. Folks, that is a pattern that we're going down today. And our only hope as children of God is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because this is getting worse. Getting worse by the day. There's churches today that when I grew up, they were staunch Missionary Baptist churches and staunch. They stood on the truth. And now they went by the wayside. Just anything goes. Folks, that's a shame. We're living in perilous times. There is a passage of Scripture, actually there's about 10 of them, that I'd like Debbie to read very loud, if she would, in Matthew 24, and I think it is verses 8 through 18. Let me look real quick. Let me get my specs on here. It's 24, 4 through, read 4 through 7.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are beginning of sorrows.
All these are beginning of sorrows. Folks, listen. I Googled for information when I began to study for this passage of Scripture. And I Googled how many earthquakes are there in a year. You know, there's 200,000 worldwide. Folks, we may not hear of many unless they are major earthquakes. But the Scripture is true. There's earthquakes in divers places. You listen to the news, and there are wars all over the place. The Middle East, I don't know how it's going to contain itself. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. The only hope for the Middle East is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I hope and I pray. I served two tours in Vietnam. I've seen the devastation of war. And I hope and I pray that we never see that kind of devastation here in the United States of America. But folks, I can't say that we're not going to. We're threatened by other countries all across the world. Even here, and I thought and I believed I would never see this. People are chanting, death to America. That's here on our own soil. Yep. They're burning the American flag. Brother, listen, the Bible says in another passage of Scripture, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yes. The time is coming.
Yes.
And I'll tell you one thing, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, folks, you need to resolve that today.
Amen.
You know, we're one button push away from annihilation.
Yes.
We need to get our head out of the sand. We need to realize that our hope lies in Jesus Christ today. I can't change the things of tomorrow, but I know the one that holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And we need to understand, without our hope in Jesus Christ, we stand lost today.
Amen.
Without acknowledging the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have no hope.
Amen.
My hope doesn't rely on my wife.
Amen.
My hope doesn't rely on my pastor.
That's true.
My hope relies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because nobody can change the future.
That's right.
Except my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, the Word says that only God can change the heart of a king.
Amen.
We need to pray. Those of you that know me, you know me, I'm not a Democrat. Okay? If you want to be one, go ahead. I don't like Joe Biden. Who? Oh, geez. I can't even think of his name.
Joe Biden.
Biden. Yeah, well, Biden. I don't. But I pray for him.
Yes.
I pray for him. I pray for his administration. That God might change their heart, that they might have rules to establish that we can have a country that has respect.
Amen.
But folks, I don't see that happening. That may not be God's will. I want you to understand something. We might not like the administration, but we ought to pray for the administration.
Yes.
I pray for them daily. I pray for them. God, change the heart of a king.
Yes.
Oh, listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand. When we look at this world today, we may be in despair. We may not have any hope. When we look at what's happening over in the Middle East, we may not have the hope that we ought to have. But I want you to understand something. As sure as I'm standing before you today, we need to understand that this world is controlled by Satan.
Amen.
You go downtown at night, and Satan's not hid. It's open. Folks, we think Satan has all kinds of power, and he does. But we need to understand that the Word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a greater power.
Yes.
And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope, my faith lies in him.
Yes.
Not in the things of this world.
Amen.
My hope lies in him. And not all of the news agencies in the world. Most of them are corrupt anyway. Matter of fact, all of them probably are. Listen, things are going bad. Our hope, your faith, needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand, because greater is he that is in us, that there is and will be victory in the end.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But I want you to understand something. There is some passages of Scripture in the book of 2 Kings. And before I give you the Scripture and everything, what? Well, don't look at the bulletin. Listen. I believe history repeats itself.
Yes.
I'm a believer in that. And there is something that is recorded in the book of 2 Kings. I want you to notice, I believe that was chapter 6, wasn't it?
Yes.
Chapter 6. There was a prophet. God worked in a mighty way with him. And the reason I mention that is our churches today need revival.
Yes.
It's not going to come at the hands of a human being.
Amen.
But it's going to come with our belief and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where revival comes from. When he kindles within us a belief to know that he is in charge.
Yes.
That he is in control. Our churches today, we need revival to come. We need a life breathed in them. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, I'd like for Debbie to read for me. Let me turn over there. Where did chapter 6 go? Debbie, start reading.
Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots.
Stop right there. What verse are you in?
14.
I wanted you to start with verse 8. Verse 8 it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. But I want you to understand something. Elijah in this place understood what the king of Syria was going to do. He's going to make war against Israel. And God revealed unto him the Syrians' plan. And then in verse 9, it says, and the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, behold, thou shalt pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. God revealed unto him the Syrians' plan. Listen, we have the word of God today, and it holds God's plan. It tells us the condition of the world. It tells us how the world is going to affect us. It tells us how the world is going to try and test our young people. Amen. Folks, listen. The Word of God has revealed the same thing to us as He revealed what the Syrians' plan was to Elijah. We stand in the hand of God today. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that cares for us. And we need to understand that whatever happens, whatever the future might hold, it is rest in the hand of God. Then the word goes on to say in verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants together and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought he had someone that betrayed him and was for the king of Israel. But listen, God has a voice.
Amen.
And in this case, the voice warned Israel. God has a voice today in the Word of God and His Word. It ought to be a warning to you and I.
Amen.
That we stand firm, we stand true, we stand according to the Word of God. Listen, those of you that have children left in the home today, you need to be the guiding light in your home. Now, I was in Walmart the other day, and a bunch of kids, I mean, they were acting up, disrespecting their parents. Listen, the Word of God says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, some of you may not like that, all you Dr. Spook people. But listen, that's what the Word says. Sometimes we need to stand and say, you will not disrespect me.
Amen.
To me, it is much as disrespecting to God Himself. But anyway, that's a whole different sermon. I want you to notice, the king of Syria thought that he had a traitor among them. But one of his men told him in verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. God knows everything. Listen, you can't hide from God. The king of Syria couldn't hide from God. Because God revealed unto Elijah even everything that was told in his bedchamber. We need to understand. We think when we go home, We got a free course to say and do what we want to do. You know, God sees you in your home as much as He sees you in this place.
Amen.
You can't hide from a living God. I want you to understand, as we go on here, because there's something very important here. In verse 13, the king of Syria, he told his people, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." The king knew where he was at. What did the king do? "Therefore sent his thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." I think the king of Syria was pretty ticked at Elijah. Then, verse 14, or 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And a servant said unto Elijah, 'My master, how shall we do?' His servant went and he looked outside, and the city was already compassed. And he went back in and he told Elijah, 'What are we going to do?'" Nick, listen, I want you to understand something. This sinful world is encircling children of God, the Lord's church. And sometimes we get so perplexed, we wring our hands and we say, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" Listen, my friend, the Lord is still in control.
Amen.
Notice in the very next verse, Debbie, it was 16. Read 16, please.
"And he answered, 'Fear not.'"
And he answered, whoa. "And he answered, 'Fear not.'" Folks, I'm telling you, no matter how bad things get, fear not.
Yeah.
If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't use it for an excuse to melt into the world. But stand.
Amen.
The Bible says in another passage in the book of Ephesians, I believe, after you've done all to stand, stand therefore.
Amen.
Brother, God is on your side. God has our best interest in store. And we ought to stand for the truth. We ought to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Notice in this passage, verse 16, Elijah prayed. The word says, "The prayers of a righteous man availeth much." Folks, we need children of God that are prayer warriors today.
Amen.
Satan can be defeated in our lives and in our homes, but it's done with a start of prayer.
Amen.
Without prayer, we'll stand defeated. Verse 16 says, "And Elijah prayed." Start with that phrase, please.
"And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his
eyes.'" Oh, Lord, open his eyes. That's what we need in God's house today. We need people to pray. "Lord, open our eyes. Let us see." But all we hear is the bad things. We get focused on those things. Listen, we need to pray, "Lord, open Brother Jeff's eyes. Lord, open Brother Will's eyes. Lord, open my eyes, for that I might see."
Yeah.
Notice what Elijah prayed for. Go ahead.
"And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha."
Whoa. Elijah prayed, "Open this young man's eyes. Let him know that we're not alone." Just open question. Show of hands if you want to be honest. Well, you don't have to. How many of us have ever felt alone as children of God? I have. Listen, this is important. We're not alone. We're not alone. Because if nothing else, we've got our brothers and sisters in Christ to join in and pray with us.
Amen.
We're not alone. Go ahead and read, please.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people.
Stop. The Syrians, they came down to take him. Here again, prayer won the day.
Amen.
Elijah only had his servant with him. The Bible speaks of no weapons.
Amen.
Other than the prayer to the higher power. God said, open my servant's eyes that he might see. Folks, that's what we need today. Pray to God that he would open our eyes and let us see a host of angels.
Amen.
The victory is ours.
Yeah.
Oh, there may be some pain along the way, but the victory will be ours if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
The victory is ours. So the Syrians, they came down to take Elijah, and Elijah prayed once again. Listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This, you can say this is Patterson theology. But when the world comes to do you harm, pray, God, blind them. Boy, I got some looks like deer in the headlights. That's all right. It's the truth. You know, why? Because God loves you. You can't show me anywhere where God wants harm to come to His children. But God loves you. And if He can blind the eyes of the Syrians, He can blind the eyes of our enemies. This world is pretty much blinded to Jesus Christ anyway. All you got to do is say, God, go a step further. I want you to understand something. God blinded the eyes of the Syrians that the king of Syria sent to Dothan to capture Elijah. But if you read further in the scriptures, Elijah said, hey, he's not here, follow me. And he took him to the camp of the Samaritans. Oh, listen. God can deliver your enemies into your friends' hands.
Yes.
I don't know what I would do if I went through this world without the protection of the hand of God. But because He is on my side, because I know Him as my personal Savior, because He shed His Son's blood for me.
Amen.
Since I said that, do you understand salvation is personal?
Yes.
It's personal. Sometimes we treat it like it's old rug, and we just wipe our feet all over it. But do you understand God loved you? God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. And the blood that was shed, it had my name on it, Brother Jeff, Larry Wayne Patterson. And because of that, I do not need to fear. Because of that, Sister Diane, I've got the power of God that I can go to and say, Lord, blind my enemies.
Yes.
And be victorious. But it depends on us. It depends on us. Did we read the last verse? What verse did we read?
I was in 17.
Okay, read 17.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is it the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria.
Okay, stop right there. Follow me, and I'll lead you to the man ye seek. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come see the man today. Listen, there's only one hope for you if you don't know Jesus, and that's accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We need to open our eyes. We need to see. Listen, brother. I believe with all of my heart that if God would open our eyes this morning, you know, we're limited to a certain dimension. That if God would open our eyes and let us see beyond this dimension that we're limited to, if He would let us see spiritual things, I believe we would see the forces of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the forces of the devil, they're fighting this morning. The devil doesn't want you to hear. The devil doesn't want you to see. The devil doesn't want you to pay attention. But I want you to understand something. The forces of God want you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here and you're a child of God and your faith isn't what it ought to be, listen, the forces of God want you to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't stand on my own, but I can stand by the power of God. The Word says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthened me. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what family problems you're having. If you're a child of God, God will be with you through all things. God will strengthen you. God will encourage you. But we got to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Sometimes we're like an ostrich. And we spend most of our time with our head buried in the sand. We need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Strengthen me. Encourage me. Give me strength to stand. In the evil days, stand therefore. He is our hope. He is our victory.
Yes.
He is our love. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. I'd like for Sister Diane to come play a verse of invitation. Listen, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today, this is God's word, not my word. Today is the day of salvation. This might be your last opportunity. If it is, and you don't know Jesus, and you die in that condition, listen, there's no never, never land that you're going to go to.
That's right.
There's no place, there's no outer darkness other than a devil's hell. But you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you can, if you die, you can go home to be with the Lord. There's only two places, heaven and hell. What is your choice going to be today? It's up to you. I can't do it for you. Nobody in this building can do it for you. But you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, listen, preacher, I've accepted God. Well, You can accept God and go to hell.
Say it.
The Word says that salvation, I'm paraphrasing, is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you never accepted His Son and His shed blood, then you're lost as Hogan's goat. But brother, the only way to be saved is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. While we stand, Sister Diane, play. Condition between you and the Lord Jesus Christ today. Listen, my friend, if you're here and you're a child of the King and you're looking for a place to serve, there's no better place than this place right here. It's up to you. Thank you for your time and attention today. Once again, I want to thank our visitors for being here. We hope that the services in the house of God has been a blessing to you. After all hearts and minds are clear, Brother Will, would you dismiss us, please?